Over the course of this study, I have attempted to keep all of these reflections outside of being influenced by external events. This particular lesson, however, does make reference, in somewhat rather subdued ways, to the presidential inauguration of 2017. Although I have opinions, I suggested that they are my own, and I have worked on keeping a balance, whatever side exists here. I felt as if the chaos and any feelings of fear and anger which many people expressed could be well addressed by the material in this section. I apologize if I have given any offense.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the subject probably, too, for some people would be disturbing. But, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know somebody like that. Somebody I know. Like.
Let's just take a minute to just kind of gently open to the silence within. And just take a couple of deep breaths. And what I would suggest is to take a moment to notice either what you are learning or what you are being taught in this moment of time. What lesson is there sitting or standing before you? And if nothing specific comes into your consciousness, what I would suggest is allow ourselves to be open to discovering whatever that is. Because I think we probably well know that there are lessons that are always there. Okay. As I was sitting with this material and sitting with the events of this past week, inaugurations and protests and all kinds of other stuff, I became aware. Now, I didn't like this awareness so much, but I became aware that we are in a time that is a tremendous opportunity to put into practice what we already know and what we are continuing to learn. You know, we could go back to, you know, you either choose love or fear, blah, 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 blah. But you know what happens with words like that is that we get jaded almost immediately and they just become nice little words and we get lost in whatever other illusions or whatever other things that we are creating. The other thing that happens is that it's kind of like if you've ever heard a really touching story that maybe moved you to tears and it became very, very important to you for a while. Maybe you shared it with some other people. But you know, what you probably found is after you've shared it maybe three or four times, it's sort of become like a dull knife, okay? It's still nice, but it doesn't really cut it anymore. Because I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for some more drama. It's not quite it. The other thing is that I can get lost in is looking around and say, well, why the hell did I create this mess? What was I thinking? you know, if I create the reality that I live in, how did I do this? Or why did I do this? And what I've begun to discover is that's absolutely useless. Okay? It's probably worse than useless. Because all it does is create guilt and more fear and more confusion and more chaos. The reality is that when we look around us, the real question is not why or how did I create this, even though we did, out of whatever consciousness. But the soul is always creating, right, what we need to learn from. Right? It isn't just a haphazard punch a button and let's do this. Right? That the soul, each one of our individual souls, as well as the collective soul that we are all a part of, or collective spirit that we're all a part of, is creating what we need to learn, what we have asked to learn from. Now, I remember the way Ram Dass used to put it all the time. He used to talk about it was his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, who was the one who was creating these things, which is really another aspect of his own divine self. He just didn't get into that particular part of the language, right? And so we would run across something, and instead of getting into why did I create this, is what am I supposed to learn from this? One of his favorite little stories was when he was traveling, giving talks all over the country, was that he would ask that the people who were setting up the program for him, that he would have a boom microphone, because he used to sit kind of cross-legged in a yogic position on the floor on some cushions, and he wanted a boom microphone that he could talk through without having to hold it, and that would be level with him sitting on the floor. And so he recalled one afternoon when he was in Oklahoma going through some really weird things with the local church, who didn't want him there because he was pagan or something or other, okay? And he looked at the stage, and here was this microphone stand like this. And he remembered saying, "What's that?" Hinting behind that's not what I wanted, that's not what I asked for. And he said all of a sudden, as soon as he asked that question, he realized that his guru just showed up, right, in the form of a microphone stand. Okay. And so the question was, what am I going to do with that one? What am I supposed to learn from that one? And so here we are, in the midst of, for some of us, in the midst of an atmosphere that we did not want or do not want, or maybe one that we are rejoicing in and saying, I'm right and you're not. Could be either side of the picture, or either side of the equation, right? But both sides are there to put us in a mindset of, what am I supposed to be learning from this? And those of us who might be on the side of things that are aghast can say, well, am I supposed to be creating more fear and more darkness and more anger and more separation? Or am I supposed to be creating something else? Now, that doesn't mean to be a doormat. If you need to carry a sign, if you need to protest, if you need to form a march, if you need to sign a petition, go ahead and do that. But recognize that is only a very minor form of energy that you are creating. The real energy that we are creating is the energy that is created through the mind. And if I hold anyone in darkness, no matter who they might be, and no matter how much I might think they deserve it, then I am in darkness too. It cannot be any other way. And so I know I am being offered a tremendous set of lessons here, if I am willing to look at them as being truth. Now I might not be able to do this all by myself. So there's another wonderful aspect of, and this is a kind of a special aspect of, I hate to put it in a label, but I will for a moment anyway, kind of a special aspect of, I was going to say Christianity, but it isn't just belong to Christianity, because even in Hinduism there's something called the grace of the guru, right? Which again is the grace of God. It's not about a personal guru, okay? But grace is sort of the power that extends itself through the divine and bridges from the divine into the human. So you might ask yourself, well, how the hell am I going to raise my vibrational insight or my vibrational perception about so-and-so over there? Because every time I look at so-and-so, I get this clenching in my gut and I want to punch his face in, right? How am I going to raise? Well, that's when we say, by myself I cannot do that, but with God all things are possible. See, it's really kind of interesting how some old stuff in Christian scripture kind of comes back in new clothes. Same words, okay, but new clothes. All of a sudden they realize, oh, that's what that's all about. Ask and you shall receive. If you need help, ask for it. I can't do this by myself. Well, okay, you're not stuck. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you. Yeah, Kim.
I think what this popped in my mind of is like when you had young children and you'd say, I love you, but I don't love what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great way of being able to speak to children as well as speak to adults too, especially to ourselves, all right? The way scripture put it was to hate the sin but love the sinner, okay? Which in language is somewhat judgmental, but we don't necessarily mean it that way. It's because what they're saying essentially is it's not about the personality self, nor is it about what that person has done. It's recognizing that no matter what the person has done, no matter what their mindset might be, no matter what your perception of what they have done might be, right? They are still inescapably a child of God, and they can't not be. So anytime you put them out of that category, in a way you're not putting yourself so much, but you're putting your own thoughts out of that category. It's not going to work that way. I'd like to begin on page 247, because this whole lesson today, I think, is geared in that particular direction. And what I would like to suggest for each one of us is that we really begin to look at this in a very practical kind of sense. This is truly practical Christianity, or practical spirituality. Every man and woman on this planet only wants to be loved. It might look like they want to be right. It might look like they want to be in control. It might look they want the rest of the world to kiss their butts, okay? Every man and woman on this planet wants to be loved. That is all they want. Whether or not they will admit it, all they want is love. And what love truly is acceptance, regardless of who or what they think or they believe they may have been, done, seen, or anything else. So we offer you this. I am now choosing to see my neighbor, to see all those before me in love. And I know that love is unconditional acceptance. As you work with this on a practical level, your life will transform. We guarantee you this. In our last text, we told you to sit in a bus station and see everybody before you as perfect. In this text, we are going to take it a little further. You are going to sit in a park or in a cafe or any place where there is transit, and we are going to imagine with you that as you sit, you become a beam of light. And if you wish to do this in this way, You may. You activate the light in the center of the heart and bring it all around you and radiate in your frequency. But sit in the park or that cafe and be a light. Now as you sit there, what we want you to do is this. We want you to stand up and claim this silently. I am now knowing myself as an aspect of the Creator, and all that I see before me will be reflected as such. And then your job is to stay there. Sit if you wish, and hold this vision of all that you see before you. You are seeing them each unconditionally accepted. And I am claiming word through all that I see before me. We want you to do this, and we want you to be in practice with it. Understand this, please. The work of this book, finally, is experiential. So as you stay there on your bench, in your cafe, and you witness the amazing creation that parades before you, you will choose to see them as God sees them, in their perfect, unconditionally loved and accepted. If you cannot imagine this, pretend that you can. That is simply a way of bypassing the thinking mind. The way we've talked about that before is imagine what it would be like, or act as if, okay? Or fake it till you make it, which I don't particularly care for because we're not really faking it, right? But all of those expressions are simply ways of bypassing the thinking mind, which is stuck in a particular pattern of thought, right? And so when you bypass that, you actually open yourself up to the soul's thinking and the soul's perception. If you cannot imagine this, pretend that you can. It is doable, and it will gift you with the change that will carry you through the remainder of your experience on this plane. So if you were to imagine the entire new cabinet parading before you. Instead of counting the billionaires, what would it be like if I were to see each one of those as being a child of God? Now, if I hold them in fear or anger or projection or ain't it awful, I am creating that. And not only am I creating that, but I am in some ways, I know this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but in some ways I am restricting their growth. I have them in a box. Maybe it is a box of their own making, but I am locking that again, and I'm saying, you are restricted to this particular level of functioning, and I will not let you out. Because I'm right and you're not. And of course, as soon as I, quote, restrict the growth of another, guess what? As far away as I would like to be from that individual, I'm in that box with them. Again, I remember Ram Dass. He used to have a portable puja, a little altar that he would carry around with him. And he had a picture of his guru on the altar, and he had a picture of or a little statue of the Virgin Mary, and I think there was a little Buddha there, and Kuan Yin, and a couple of other things. And along with all of that was a picture of Caspar Weinberger from the Reagan administration. And he said, I'm not quite sure why, but he really gets me. Right? He really gets my goat. And he said, I put his picture on my altar because every time I look at that picture of Caspar Weinberger, I realize how far I have to go. I just love that. Okay? So guess who's on your altar right now? As a reminder, not of how much you can't stand somebody, but how far I need to go to hold them in the light. So as soon as I start patting myself on the back and thinking how great thou art, what a wonderful spiritual being I am, how far I've grown spiritually, right? Take a look at that picture on your altar. And again, we can be willing. You can be willing to be willing. I truly believe, excuse me, that if I am not able to do something like that yet, that the desire to do that begins to create the reality. So as Thomas Merton said in his wonderful prayer, the desire to please you does in fact please you. So if I have the desire, as modeled as that desire might be, to see this person as a child of God, that desire begins to create that reality. So if you can do nothing else, if you could do nothing else, hold on to the desire, the willingness. That's perfect. The willingness is perfect. The willingness creates perfection. The ability to hold others in divine love is, in many ways, the result of the work of this book. So if you wish, we would recommend the following. I am seeing those before me with love. I am love through the ones I see before me. Word, I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. When you claim yourself as love, you align your frequency to I am in love. And that energy moves through you, and that energy participates in this action that you are bringing forth to your brothers. I am word through those I see before me brings the word. I am love through all I see before me calls forth divine love to do that work as well. Now you are serving others through this enterprise, but you are serving yourself as well. In order to do this effectively, you have to be operating at a high frequency. When you are operating at a high frequency, your life becomes magical. When J.K. Rowling created Harry Potter, kind of out of nothing almost, out of some napkins in a coffee shop, she created something that tapped into an archetypal kind of energy, something much larger than her, because the phenomenon that grew out of that, and I'm not just talking about the physical phenomenon of the books and the movies and all the other stuff, but the energy field that was created from that was a world that was willing to believe in magic. A world that was willing to believe in transformation. A world that was willing to believe that even though there seems to be a separation between good and evil, all right, that love will always win out. And that even in the worst or most difficult of times, that the light has never gone out, nor has it ever really been dimmed. And that even in the most seemingly evil of characters, when Professor Snape was finally unmasked, as being probably one of the greatest heroes in the story, all of the judgments, all of the stuff that was built up, all of the rationality was totally destroyed.
And so here we are in a world where we are being asked again, are you willing to be open to the transformational power of love? Are you willing to believe in magic? But. Now, if you have people in your life that you are still at war with, we have to work with that directly. Paul has been wondering about this. What happens when I am angry and I am not in forgiveness? If you are not in forgiveness, the first thing you have to understand is that you are frightened. I'm not in forgiveness because I'm right. I'm in non-forgiveness because I am frightened. Usually of yourself, or perhaps of the person that you still hold the anger at. So if you see that the anger is camouflaging fear, usually pride is the culprit, as has been said. We can tell you that you can dismantle it through word. In other words, it doesn't just disappear because you wanted to. This is dismantling anger, fear, separateness. I am word through this feeling of rage, and I am now choosing to release it and to release it in divine love. Word, I am word through this intention. How many times must I release this? How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And here's Peter looking for a pat on the back. Hey, look at me, I forgave him 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, which is a kind of a mystical number, which means as often as you need to. And so how many times do I need to do this? As often as you need to, right? If it crops up again, do it, release it again. If you have to do it again, do it again. Don't fall into self-judgment. Oh, I didn't do it right the first time. Of course you didn't do it right the first time. When did you ever do something right the first time? Oh, I just hopped on the bicycle and I just went. Never fell off. Oh, I learned how to walk. I just stood up and walked. Oh, really? Oh yeah, as soon as they put that math equation in front of me, I just got it like that. Long division? No problem. Algebra? No problem. Slide rule? No problem. As you begin to work with this actively, you begin to realize that you are not passive to your experience as one healed. You are an active participant. So we're not preaching passivity here. And as you go forward in this work, you will choose day after day only to make those choices that will align you to higher frequency. It is habit to go to the old places of rage and fear. And you live in a culture where people go to the movies to watch other people get blown up. So you are being received with these kinds, you're being received with these kind of messages day after day. And as you begin to realign yourself to this new identity, you experience changes. You're not attracted to that stuff anymore. I remember I told you guys a long time ago that I can't watch boxing anymore. I used to love it. Can't watch it anymore. Something changed inside of me. I didn't realize it changed. But something happened to my vibration at one time and I couldn't watch people beat one another up after a while. Huh, interesting. Now what would it be like if my vibration was raised to a level where I couldn't be angry anymore? Because I was not fearful anymore. I didn't have to put you in your place because I already knew what your place was, right beside me. What would that be like?
And so at a place of higher vibration, it's not about ignoring what's going on around us. Not that, I don't watch the news. I mean, obviously there are going to be some times when I have to turn it off. But it doesn't mean I'm ignoring that stuff or pretending it's not there. The real question is, you know, turn it off. The real question is, can I sit there and watch it and raise my vibration? Or do I have to avoid everything that lowers my vibration? Of course, when you do that, you create a whole other set of rules and you put yourself in another kind of box. I can't do that. Like in the 60s, right? Oh, I can't do that. That brings me down. I can't get a job. That brings me down. I can't talk to my parents. Okay, that brings me down. Can't go to church. Brings me down. Okay. So I've got a whole other set of rules that I've created for myself about avoiding all of the things that, quote, bring me down so I can stay high. But that requires a whole lot of work, right? And it really ignores the whole premise of things, because the object is not to get high or to stay high. The object is to get free. And stay free. And so the question is, what is keeping me trapped? What is there in my anger or my fear or my sense of separateness? Even though I'm blaming you for that, okay? What is there that is keeping me trapped or keeping me stuck? Paul began to wonder about 2 months ago why he didn't want the television on. The real reason was that he was no longer able to comfortably resonate with the images of violence and the news that was propagating fear. He found it hard, although he did not know why. As you change your frequency, what you align to stops being what it used to be, and you have to call to you a new set of experiences to demonstrate the level of resonance that you are now supporting. This is very interesting to experience, and it's not a lot different than finding out that one day, for no apparent reason, you had no desire to eat meat. I'm not there yet. I have a sense that will happen someday, and I am consciously and unconsciously working on that, but it's not there. Now, the habit to have a hamburger, however, the craving is for something lighter that vibrates at a higher frequency. And you begin to honor those changes. Your experience begins to change. And as we have said before, as you arrive at each new choice that is not based in fear, your vibration raises accordingly. Now, I found something interesting with that. I found that I still find myself attracted to things that are on a low vibrational level that I have since discarded. That even though I've discarded and even though I know that they're at a low vibrational level, in some ways the attraction is still there. Kind of whispers in my ear. Okay. And it's really interesting to notice that it didn't disappear. Didn't go away. It just became less intrusive in my mind because I am less and less in alignment with that. The temptation to fall into whatever that might be, whether it has to do with something in the physical world or not, is still there to some degree, but it becomes more and more irrelevant. And so now, let's suppose that we bring it into a practical level here for ourselves on planet Earth and say, you know, my attraction to be right here in this case, my attraction to my anger or my fear or whatever it might be with regards to this particular person or this particular group of people is, you know, it's still very much there, but as my vibration is raised, it doesn't disappear. My attraction to it begins to decrease, kind of like shutting off a faucet. often get shut off right away or completely, but my attraction to that begin, my attraction to being right begins to decrease. I had an incident of that just, well, not being right so much, but I hope you don't mind me saying this, Paul. It's not about you so much. But Paul and I were in the bookstore a couple of minutes ago before class got started, and I haven't completed this story for Paul, so this will complete it for him anyway. And Paul said to me, have you ever done any, led any AA 12-step oriented retreats? And my first answer was yes. I years and years ago, especially I was doing, you know, two or three a year. Kind of they were coming out the wazoo I was doing. And it was funny because I was just thinking about that a couple of weeks ago. It was back when I called the age of the giants, okay, when all these when I was really, really popular. We filled up this whole retreat center, and it was so filled up they had to have people in another retreat center about three or four. They had people at St. Minor's about 3 or 4 miles down the road because they didn't have room to fit them all in there. You know, I just, man, how great thou art. Doing such a great job. And so Paul asked me about that, and I said, oh, yeah, I used to do it. Yeah, sure. And then it was really funny. When I started this class today, I said, wait a minute. I'm not sure whether that's me anymore. As much as I found myself attracted to that, I'm not sure whether that's me anymore. I'm going to have to sit with that one. So I apologize for making a commitment right away and realizing that it might have been the old Jerry that made the commitment and might not be, it might not fit with me today.
Let me help you. It is you. I wouldn't have thought of it.
it's the me you think I am. Okay.
I've been to a lot of AA retreats in the past out west, not here, but out west. And every one of them had a retreat master. None as good as you. And I've been to no retreats here that really inspired me that much.
Okay, well, I'll still have to sit with that one for a while. Okay, but thank you. I appreciate that.
And could I add the Course of Miracles if you ever decide to do that again?
Okay. Maybe it hasn't changed as much as I think. Well, maybe you know, I'm just walking on a different level in there. You know, I might not have to be attracted to the old vibration to be part of that new thing.
Sure.
So let me sit with that one for a while, but I appreciate your willingness to let me explore myself in that. Yeah, Bill.
Well, you have to remember you can't step in the same river twice.
Right.
So even if you did one today, you'd be in a different place, and maybe what would be coming through you wouldn't be what came through you 10 years ago.
Very good. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just an old man. Yeah, what am I going to do with that one, huh?
Proceed on.
I was like, yes, it's like the microphone, the boom microphone there. What am I going to do with that one, huh? Not the same thing I did yesterday, huh? Okay. Very interesting. This is very interesting to experience, and it's not a lot different from finding out we did that already. You are always choosing every moment of the day. We are going to tell you now that your desire for help outside of the self is a valid one. Okay? So you know, when I am in my self, this Jerry Boylan self, okay, the desire for help or the recognition of need for help is not something we put down or disappear. But help as an alarm that is based on an understanding that you have been gifted with that is intended to keep you in fear or powerlessness is not. And we are choosing now to support you in beginning to operate in a new way. We will stop this chapter for today and we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you both. I am the Word. So in other words, when I realize I need help, it's not about judgment or putting myself down or saying there must be something wrong with me. It is recognizing that at the level I perceive myself at this moment in time, I am perceiving myself in limitation.
and I am perceiving myself in need of something that only Spirit can give me. Now, if I was in a higher vibration and connected with Spirit, I would realize that there is also help available to me, but it's kind of a much different level. So one of the things that really struck me in this book, and I think one of the other ones too, but I believe it talked about this in this book a while ago, was when you are in doubt or in need, or think you are in doubt or in need, to ask your divine self for assistance. And I went, wow, I never thought about that. I mean, I thought about asking God for assistance or asking my guides for assistance. But in a sense, it was always with this, I didn't want it to be, but it was always with this kind of sense of separateness, that somehow I'm here and they're out there someplace. And then when I heard those words or read those words, ask your divine self for that, I said, oh, wow, it's right here. And again, I don't mean here in this physical place, but here available within my awareness. The awareness that you and I have that goes beyond limitation. And again, if you can't or have a difficult time doing that in some way or shape or form, to recognize that, okay, the step beyond that or the step within that is go to your desire. My desire to be in communion with my divine self. Okay, and when you do that, when you open yourself to that reality, how things change. How your view of yourself changes. The ability to hold others in divine love is in many ways the result... Oh, where am I? Sorry. Maybe I needed to repeat that. Day 17. Freedom is the key to where you have to go next. To backtrack a moment on what we said a little bit earlier about the object, thinking the object of life or the object of spirituality is to get high on meditation or get high on reading Paul Selig or whatever else you get lost in. Again, to quote my buddy Ram Dass, he said, you know, he spent years working on getting high, you know, through drugs, through meditation, through whatever, through service work, through falling in love, whatever happened to come along, okay? And then he realized that he was creating a whole other set of rules for himself that were just as restrictive as the other ones. And then he realized, as he said, that the object of the game, the name of the game, was not getting high, it was getting free. And so, you know, you can apply that to Buddhism, you can apply that to Hinduism, you apply that to Christianity, you apply that to Islam, you can put that in any category you want to. But the same thing is there when Buddha talked about attachment. All life is suffering. Right? And the reason why life is suffering is because of attachment. And there is a way through that. But the way Jesus put it was, store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither rust nor moth consume. Where your real treasure lies. And then he said also, where your heart is, there your treasure is also. You want to find out what's important to you today? Take a look at what you're thinking about. You know, could be the crack in your kitchen floor. Could be the microwave that doesn't work. Okay, could be the breakfast I missed. Could be the cup of coffee I'm waiting for. Could be a whole bunch of things. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. See, that's one of the things I love about taking this 40 minutes out of, you know, the week. Because I know where my heart is. And I know where yours is too. Okay. And we create that. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. Everybody here on this plane is now ready, everybody, get that? Everybody here on this plane is now ready to uplift whether they know it or not.
If you can imagine right now that there is a tide that is rising and everyone is being lifted in this frequency, regardless of whether they know it or not, you will begin to understand that what is actually happening here is a global phenomenon. Well, it doesn't look that way. So what? And how this is outpictured in each civilization as civilization transforms will be the way this plays out. So right now on this plane of development in the United States of America, it is being outpictured in a way that seems tremendously foreign to the idea of unity or the idea of peacefulness or the idea of freedom or the idea of non-judgment or whatever else you want to throw in the pot there. That's how it's being outpictured. And as we said right in the beginning today, what's the real challenge then? The real challenge is to change how I'm seeing the picture. How I am seeing the picture changes the picture. How I am seeing the picture changes the picture. You believe that? You know, we've all practiced that in some ways. How I see this situation changes the situation. We've all done that. We've all done that more than once. We've done it unconsciously, probably quite often, and now we're doing it on a conscious level. When we are aware of it, saying, I know I can choose, I can see peace instead of this. I can choose to see this differently. I can choose once again. If I don't like the way I've chosen, excuse me, to see this in a particular way, I can choose differently. We've all done that. You're going to walk out of here. You're not going to like it a whole lot, but you're going to walk out of here knowing that what you see is not what you get. That's crap. What you see is what you get only if you're a victim. What you see is what you can change how you see. And that's what you get. But it's not living in this passive state of existence where what you see, well, here it is. Blah, 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 blah. When how you see changes, what you see changes. You've done that with yourself more than once. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. When how you see the world is different, the world becomes different. When you change how you see the world changes. Now the way it works is, when we are especially really challenged with something, is it's going to keep pushing. Okay, well this changed, how about this one? What are you going to do with this? How about this? And we played that game already. Right? Every time we turn on the television or put on YouTube, it's, what outrageous thing now do I have to complain about? What's next? And here's my ego mind waiting for what's next. Ready? It's almost like a cat getting ready to pounce. What's next? Oh, I got that one. Good. What if I change that? When the world I see changes, and the way I see the world changes, the world changes. Okay? Thank you all. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Jerry.
See you soon. And who knows where we might be.